Well, good evening and good morning or good afternoon, whatever time of day it is. Welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. This is your host, yes, singular host, Chris Honholtz with you tonight. Reason I'm singular is that my poor buddy Rich, well, he's just feeling under the weather. The poor guy is not feeling up to it tonight, and we had to postpone last week's because, unfortunately, I was going through a surgical procedure, and I had a hernia, had a little hole in my belly, and the doctors had to put me on medication and knock me out and all kinds of fun stuff, put a little spackle and paint in there and get me back up and running. So, unfortunately, we were not able to be with you last week, and we're always appreciative when you guys give us that opportunity to have that little bit of extra time to take care of the necessary parts of life. So thank you for, being patient with us. Our hope had been to record a few days ago. This is, by the way, Monday, April 10th, 2017. Our desire had been to do this a few days ago, back on either Friday or Saturday, but unfortunately, just requirements of family or other issues that come up sometimes require us to try and postpone it to a couple of days to where both of us can be together and make the recording. And that was the plan for tonight. I was looking forward to being on air with my buddy Rich, but unfortunately, life just has its way of throwing us a curveball. And well, when you're not feeling good, you're just not feeling good. And we ask that you pray for our good friend Rich. Ask that the Lord, keep him feeling better and getting up and around and doing what he needs to do. But we're always grateful for him. So please keep him in your prayers. Unfortunately, that for you guys, though, that means that you don't have Rich to always find some reason to get on me this week. So maybe a little less of the banter than usual. So maybe that's fun for you too, but we always do enjoy it. But unfortunately, not this week. Want to say thank you for continuing to support us in terms of your prayers and in terms of giving us feedback and contacting us, sharing, pointing people to the website, pointing people to the show. We are grateful for it. This is a shoestring budget, actually less than a shoestring budget. We don't even have the shoestring, much less the shoe. But we do this because we want to share what God has given us in terms of knowledge and understanding. Not that we're experts by any stretch of the imagination, but what little he has given us the ability to do to share with our brethren. And so by supporting us through your prayers and by sharing it and putting the information out there, you help us, and we're grateful for that. I always want to remind you that, we do have a website, slavetotheking.com. That is where all the shows are linked via the blog page. You can, there's a player right there built into the website itself that has the most recent podcasts on it, and also through the blog articles themselves. Rich and I do keep promising you that we want to write, and it's not something we've gotten very good at lately. Part of my problem is just struggling with disciplining myself to do that, and then getting a little bit self-conscious when I start to sit down and write and wonder whether or not I should be putting pen to paper, so to speak. So I always pray that God would, return me to that. I do very much enjoy writing and enjoy writing about the things of God. And I hope to get back to that and be putting those articles up as well. As I continue to study the Word of God, there's always thoughts that come to my mind, the things that I'd like to share. And hopefully I'll be able to do that for you all soon. Is in addition to the website, we do have our Facebook and Twitter feeds. You can go to Twitter, which is at @VOR_radio, @VOR_radio. You'll find us on Twitter there, trying to keep up information for you through that site. Also, you can find Voice of Reason Radio on Facebook, and you can contact us through either of those. If you would like to pass on thoughts about the show suggestions, articles, ideas, thoughts, complaints, snarks, you can contact us through those. Also, you can email us at voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com, voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We do occasionally get emails or contact via social media, and we're always so grateful. You can also pick up this program on iTunes if you are an Apple aficionado and you use the iTunes store. You can find us there and look for the podcast menu and pick up Voice of Reason Radio. And recently, I did actually see that a couple of you left reviews. I am greatly appreciative. We like negative and positive reviews. There was one that took issue with, I think, how we represented the issue of immigration, pointing to out the fact that they felt that what we said about the Old Testament and God's laws regarding that, we may be overextended. How that applies to the New Testament church, I disagree. I think we actually took that that concept and from Al Mohler, who I think is a heck of a lot smarter than I am. And I'm not trying to blame him nor pass the buck in any way, but I actually agreed with his representation on it. And if I misrepresented him anyway, let me know, please. I hope I represented him correctly and his statements. But you know what? I appreciate the input because it does challenge me to consider how we represent these arguments. As I've always said, we're not the experts. We're not perfect in this by any means. And so critiques of any kind, good, bad, you know, indifferent, we're grateful for. So please don't misunderstand me to say that I didn't like that that input. I was grateful for it. It does challenge me to think about what I'm saying and how I'm saying it. So thank you. Please leave your reviews, leave your suggestions, leave your comments and your critiques with us. You can do that through any of those sites and again, through our email address. So grateful. As always, for your support and your input. Again, just want to say thank you for making this possible for us. We don't have a program without listeners. We try to do this primarily for the glory of God. That's our first and foremost effort, is to glorify God in all that we say and do. But in that same vein, if we don't have listeners to edify, then we're not accomplishing anything. We're talking to empty air. So thank you for listening. Thank you for making it possible. So this week, I wanted to spend some time talking about a couple of different subjects. Actually, I only had one in mind initially until I looked at my Twitter feed today. If you have no idea what's going on with United Airlines, well, where have you been? Even I was shocked when I saw the stuff that passed through the internet, something about that had happened on a United flight over the weekend. And I seeing all kinds of complaints against United, and I'm like, what on earth happened? So thankfully, our good friend Andy Olson was kind enough to send me the link and let me know what had happened. And basically, if you're not aware of it, what happened is that United Airlines had a flight out of Chicago that had a fully booked flight. Every seat was taken. And apparently what had happened is they had a standby crew that needed to get on board and be taken to wherever this flight was headed to. And that resulted in, you know, an overbooked situation. Just like you go to the airport holidays and people have purchased tickets and they find out the flight's overbooked and you start getting the announcements, hey, we have an overbooked flight. We're looking for people who are volunteers to go to another flight who would be willing to stay overnight. We'll pay for the hotel, etc. So that's what United found situation it found itself in. And unfortunately, what happened is that they made the announcement and nobody wanted to give up their seats, which if you're a paying customer, I get that. Why would you want to give up your seat when you're actually seated in the plane? And that's a crucial point, and I think in this article, is this is not prior to boarding. These are people who have been seated. And why would you want to give up your seat? You're ready to go. You need to go home. And so nobody wanted to volunteer to give up four seats. So United, per their policy, which apparently is an actual policy on their website, you know, when you purchase a ticket, you're making you're agreeing to certain contractual obligations, which would include a certain types of cancellation policies. They randomly selected via the computer, let the computer do the job, four people who would need to leave the flight, and of course they were to be compensated. Well, one individual did not want to go. He's a doctor. He had a hospital to be at the following day. He simply said, I refuse to go. And United has since, there's information that has come out. You can go, I think abcnews.com is where I read this just before starting to record this program. An email was generated by the CEO of United. And basically, the allegation made by the folks at United is that this individual not only refused to go, but was actually becoming quite belligerent. I don't know if that's accurate. That's just United's allegation based on an internal email. Okay, so it's just, I'm just putting that out there. But what we do know is what happened once the phone cameras started rolling. And by this point, the passengers still refusing to leave, United called the airport police and had them come on the plane and to escort this individual off. And apparently he continued to refuse to do so. And what we see in the video is that you have three officers involved in the extraction of what appeared to be, at least on video, a rather compliant individual. He didn't seem to be raising a ruckus. He was pulled out of the seat. He, as a result of the narrow space in which they were trying to get him to come out of the seats, he ends up smacking his face on an armrest, which results in him kind of collapsing to the floor, and he's drug off by his hands, kind of drug down the aisle, and the officers remove him. And of course, every person on the plane at this point has their cell phones going. There is not a, I don't think there was a passenger in a seat that wasn't recording this incident. And what ends up happening is they removed him from the plane. Well, apparently he comes to once he's outside the plane and comes running back on. And now there's additional video where you see the individual running back on the plane. You can tell he's very out of it. He's got blood dripping down his face, likely from the injury from when he smacks his face on the arm of the chair. And he's just saying, I need to get home. I need to get home. And then there's a separate video where he's kind of clinging to this wall partition. When you sit on an airplane, they sometimes have the areas broken up with those little walls, and he's kind of holding on to it. And he's saying what appears to be something to the effect of, just kill me now, or something to that effect. And so those are there are four videos that I've seen. And unfortunately, just a terrible, terrible incident. And a lot of people have had a lot of input on this. And my personal feeling is this was a mess created by United and the airport police who were involved. There has been a suspension of at least one officer involved and a statement released by that department that this incident was not handled according to their procedures. So this was a mess from top to bottom. You had paying customers who had seats that they were not only paid for, but they were seated in when United is told, no, we've got a standby crew that has to get on. So paying customers are now secondary to the employees, and people are told, you know, if you don't volunteer, we're going to take you off. Now, that resulted in what was really just a mess of how this particular incident got handled. And very likely, I think not only is a lawsuit going to come out of this, but I think you're going to see some willingness on the part of United and other probably persons involved to settle, in my opinion. Because if you know, we're going to get to the other part of this in just a second, but if you're an attorney and you know that your company does have a policy that lets you do this, the problem is that you have this video of this guy getting drug off with essentially like a side of beef, you know, just drug down the aisle and him coming back on with blood on his face. I don't think any attorney worth his salt, at least in my personal opinion, is going to want to have a jury of 12 peers look at that and go, oh yeah, this was handled exactly the way United should have done it. It's a real mess. And sadly, compounding the problem is the CEO releasing a brief paragraph statement saying how this was an upsetting incident and how they felt terrible about having to reaccommodate these passengers with no acknowledgement that one of those reaccommodations resulted in the injury of one of their paying passengers. So it was obviously probably crafted by an attorney, probably as noncommittal as possible, so that they, you know, when they started formulating a defense plan, that they weren't giving up information. Of course, this is what corporations do. You know, we understand that. But the whole thing was a mess from top to bottom. Now, why is that important for us as Christians? Well, this is what I got to thinking about. There's a couple of things that I wanted to address. Number one is it's really easy to kind of get on the bandwagon and get really upset with United. And I think United is very much responsible for what they caused. But we have to remember, we don't always know the entire story. And we've talked about this on the program before. Please remember, we don't always know the entire story. And we can see the video, but we don't see what happened prior to the video. We see how the incident was handled, and we can look at it and very much agree, yeah, that was a mess. But we don't know the entirety of the story. The allegation that has been made inside the internal emails from United is that the customer was very belligerent and very angry prior to the incident, which necessitated the call for airport police. Don't know. We simply don't know that we don't have information or evidence to testify to that. So we're kind of, as much as we may not want to, we kind of accept United's word a little bit on this, because there's always two sides to every story, and then there's the truth. So somewhere in the middle is usually in my professional experience, you usually have two sides, and somewhere in the middle is that actual truth. So we don't know the entire story. So let's not be quick to jump to conclusions. I think we can agree it was messy and it probably handled very poorly, but let's not rush to complete judgment until more evidence is introduced. So that's my first thing. The second thing I wanted to address was, as Christians, how should we handle a situation if we were to find ourselves in that place? Every one of us has been on the bad end of a bad corporate policy. There's no question about it. Corporations exist for one reason and one reason alone, and that's profit. They don't exist necessarily for our benefit. They certainly provide us with services that benefit us, but we don't exist. They're not in existence for us to just to make our lives better. You know, they exist because they have a service that they believe that they can get money for. So that being the case, when we enter into negotiations, so to speak, I will pay this much for this service, there are certain gives and takes. We often look at it from the perspective of, hey, I'm the customer, I'm paying you money, I am your boss. And essentially, I believe that's true, because I've negotiated with you to provide a service. And if you're not going to provide me with the service, then I'm not going to pay you for the service. So there's a certain amount of truth to that. But at the same time, we have to recognize a corporation, a business, exists for itself. It has people and overhead that it has to pay and take care of. It has resources it has to purchase. And so as a part of all that, they have a price structure that guarantees that they're going to continue to remain solvent. They're going to be able to stay in the black, and they're going to be able to continue to do business and provide a paycheck not only for its employees, but for the people who own the business and run the business. And we can complain about how much they make versus the quality of service we receive, but we have to remember that's what they exist for. They exist to create a business and a service so that they make a profit. So consummate with that is the idea that they have the right to establish certain parameters of business. And when you enter into business with us, there are certain contractual obligations we expect of you. And so, for example, if you have a cell phone, as I do through Verizon, I sometimes get upset with how Verizon and the cell phone companies handle customers. It's no secret that I'm not a big fan of how Android phones will push mandated software updates. Not just security patches, but you go from one current operating system, which may have been perfect for the phone when it was designed, but to a new operating system because they have a new phone. And since there's a new phone and a new model and that has a new operating system, we're going to push that new operating system onto the older phones as well. And this is billed as a benefit for us, because as technology advances and apps change, they need these new operating systems. Unfortunately, it tends to reduce the efficiency of the device over time. So I'm not a big fan of how Google and Android in general does it. And I'm not a fan of the fact that Verizon allows them to do that, because I believe that everybody's kind of aware of the fact that unless your phone begins to degrade over time and lose efficiency, you're probably going to stick with a phone that you bought and don't really want to buy a new one unless there is something so compelling that you have to get this new phone. And so that's something I don't like. And for a long time, have made a lot of stink to the point where, to my regret and to my shame, I actually got blocked from the Samsung support feeds because I made quite a stink. And so all of us have had that happen. We've had something where a policy or a practice done by a corporation or a company has been put into play that we didn't like. It's like, I'm paying you money. Why do you treat me this way? Is kind of the attitude. And I think we can look at a situation like United Airlines and go, what they did to this man is not right. What they did to the other passengers is not right. But we have to remember, when we enter into that contract, when we say I pay X amount of dollars for service to be carried from point A to point B, I am also agreeing to the terms and conditions of that. And because air travel can be one of these fluid situations where storms or air equipment malfunctions, overbookings, etc., can occur, there's a possibility of flight cancellation. And so I have to remember that as difficult as that is for me, the traveler, it is the cancellation policy of the company that I contracted to be traveling with. And so in this instance, and I don't believe it's a good policy, I would agree with everybody who says this overbooking policy and this practice of putting standby crews as a higher priority than your passengers who paid the fare, I think that's a terrible practice, because you are treating your customers simply as a line item in your budget. They are not valuable to you other than the fact that you get money from them. So I think it's a terrible practice. I think it's a terrible policy. However, if I make a purchase from United, and in those terms and conditions is a cancellation policy that says if the plane you're going to go on is overbooked and we have to make people get off the plane, then you are subject to the terms and conditions of that cancellation policy. If I click the I accept box when I purchase my tickets online, or I go to the travel agent and I sign the paperwork saying this is the travel agreement I'm under, then I am beholden to that contract as much as United is. And so in this particular instance, and I am not going to blame the individual who got himself drug off the airplane. I'm not trying to blame him anyway, because like I said, I think United created this problem, and his injuries and the humiliation he was put through, I think that was I lay that square at the feet of United. But as a Christian, what I want to emphasize is if I'm on a plane and I run into this situation, how should I address it? Well, there were four people who were forced to leave that airplane, three of which got up and left. Folks, I think that's, as Christians, that's what we are expected to do by God. We have to say, we are told, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If I say yes, I agree to these terms and conditions, then I, as a Christian, if I am going to be a man or a woman of my word, and I am someone who honors the word of God, then what I need to do is go, I don't like this, but I'm going to get up, I'm going to leave the plane, and then I'm going to take whatever legal recourse I can based on what the law and allows me based on their policies. I think that's how you approach it. Because if we put ourselves in the position of, I'm going to demand my consumer rights, I'm going to stay in this seat, as a Christian, I think we are not letting our yes be yes and our no be no. And again, please do not misunderstand me what I'm saying. I'm not saying let's look at this and critique this individual's situation. I don't know anything about his situation other than he was a doctor and he was supposed to be at work the next morning at the hospital. That's all I know about his situation. All I know is what I've seen on the video and what all of you have probably watched by now. But what I'm saying is, as a lesson for us, when we are dealing with corporations who have bad policies and we say yes as we check that block, we are subjecting ourselves to it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have rights. That doesn't mean that we can't take legal action if policies were not spelled out to us properly, if they were hidden to where we didn't know. There's all kinds of ways we can address those issues. But when we are faced with a situation like this, I think the proper Christian response is to say, I agreed to this. It is their policy. I don't like it. So I'm going to submit to it for now. And I'm going to leave the plane without creating a ruckus because that's part of my Christian testimony. And I'm going to leave the plane. And then I'm going to go through the steps to resolve the problem. So I wanted to address that because it really got me thinking, how do we as Christians address this? And I'm very guilty myself of when a corporate policy affects me in a negative way, is to get really upset, to act out, to get boisterous, to threaten to leave the company, to voice my complaints online where everybody can see it, so it puts the company in a bad light to get the results that I want. I've done that many, many times, and it's something I need to work on. It's a pride issue for me. And I'm hoping that by addressing this, maybe that's what we can get as Christians, get ourselves thinking about. How do we handle bad situations like this and still be respectful to the people that we're dealing with? To give you an example, when I was going through my prep for the surgical procedure, all kinds of folks I had to set appointments with and go in for the pre-registration and all this stuff. And in one instance, I was told, hey, you have to pay X amount of dollars. And I'm like, wait a minute, what are you guys talking about? I don't have that kind of money. And it became a very heated discussion. And after the weekend it had passed and we'd gone through the finances and found a way to pay that X amount of money up front, I apologized to the person. I told her, I said, you caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that, because you have to understand, I've got this person and this person and this person that are all part of this. Plus, I've got other medical bills that of another family member I'm trying to take care of, that you caught me way off guard. And I didn't feel that was fair what you did, but I understand that that's your policy and I'm going to do what I can to pay my bill. So I had to kind of eat a little bit of crow there, even though I wasn't fond of how that that situation was presented to me. If I wanted medical treatment and that was the policy of the surgical provider, I had to enter into a contract with them and I had to meet their terms, because if I didn't, then I didn't get the procedure. And I think in the same way, when we're dealing with something like this, as much as we feel like we can get righteously indignant, we need to check ourselves, because what has God said about anger, unrighteous and unjust anger? What has He said about letting our yes be yes and no be no? Our Christian testimony is affected by how we represent ourselves in the public and to other people, even when we're dealing with corporations who simply do not practice what we feel is fair business. There's ways to address that, and we can pursue those legal means and do that. But let's let our testimony be that we are going to be respectful people. We're going to honor the terms and conditions that are presented to us, and that we are going to pursue things in a lawful manner, not an antagonistic manner. Just again, not saying that's what this individual did, just saying that's what I want us to take away when we look at a situation like this. How can we deal with a situation like that? So hopefully that was helpful. I hope that something gives you something to think about. Second subject, the thing that Rich and I wanted to talk about tonight, and I'm going to do it a little bit truncated because I'm covering two topics and doing this by myself, is if you have been paying attention at all to what's going on in the modern entertainment industry, you recognize something's happened in recent events within the last few weeks as movies or television programs begin to come out. And there are three in particular that I wanted to point out and maybe just talk about a few things real quickly about how we deal with that. And the first, the issue is that of the homosexuality being present in modern entertainment. Three specific programs, two of them movies, one television program. The first one was Beauty and the Beast. When it came out, Disney and the folks making the film made a specific point to say that a specific character was going to have, as they said, an exclusively gay moment. What did they mean by that? One of the characters is an individual by the name, I think it was LaFoe. And he is kind of the little minion of the head bad guy, Gaston. Gaston is the big burly hunter guy that's in love, or well, considers himself in love, I guess, with Belle, wants to pursue her and conquer her, but the beast is the thing in the way. And eventually he wants to conquer and kill the beast and claim Belle as some sort of trophy. And so he's this picture of the backwards thinking Cro-Magnon style manly man. And if you ever watched the original animated film, LeFou was his kind of squat little short minion that just Gaston, you're the greatest kind of attitude. And much like Gaston, he ogled women. He was disrespectful to people. And all he did was kind of kowtow to whatever Gaston said. Well, rather than be consistent with what the animated film did, they decided LeFou was at this point in his life was now dealing with issues of homosexual desire. And he finds himself essentially in love with Gaston and tries to make an appeal to him or something of that nature. Now, I haven't seen the new film. I know people who have. And essentially, this was one of those moments that passed very quickly. So it was rather interesting that they made a big deal about this issue, but they said LeFou is essentially homosexual. He is attracted to Gaston, and then they make a big deal out of it, and then it's like just a few seconds pass in the film where that is somewhat kind of tertiarily acknowledged. Very odd. Very odd. Well, the second time it happened is if you have kids, if you remember the 90s, you remember the TV show Power Rangers. Well, they did a release of a updated version of this TV show as a movie. And they kind of did the Iron Man-esque armor, and they had the great CGI graphics for the monsters and stuff like this, and looked like just a really neat retelling. Well, for the most part, you know, there were some things that kind of looked kind of lame, I think, for some of us that saw the commercials, but by and large, looked very interesting. And then, just like with Beauty and the Beast, right before the release of the film, they come out and say, one of the Power Rangers is the first exclusively gay superhero. And in this case, it's a female Yellow Ranger, I believe it was, Trini. And it's one of those things, like Beauty and the Beast, where it's a passing comment. And which the way the article read, that Trini was having a bad day, her teammates are trying to find out what's going on, and they ask her if she's having boyfriend troubles, and I think the response was no girlfriend troubles. Making Trini out to be a lesbian, thus the first gay Power Ranger in the entire series since the 90s. A retelling of these characters and bringing this into a story primarily aimed at kids. And so, again, odd set of circumstances. They are introducing this right before the release, making a huge deal about it, and then the actual film barely even touches on it. And I look at this and I go, you know, why would they do that? Why would they specifically make that kind of announcement for something so, that was so relatively small in the film? And I think the reason is that there have been movies in the past where something like this was maybe hinted at, something that was left open to interpretation. Disney, for example, has been famous for this. If you remember the movie Frozen, there was a scene where the sister of the queen, I think Anna, goes into the kind of the Swedish type guy into his shop to get warm clothing because everything's winter. And he's telling her about how he's got a sauna in addition to all these other things. And he points to his family in the sauna and, you know, a few young boys' heads pop up and a young man. And people pointed to that and said, you know, where was the wife? That's not a wife. That would seem to indicate that the shop owner was actually homosexual and the young man was his other half. It wasn't specifically pointed out that way. You know, it could have been left open to interpretation, could have been any type of family member. We just didn't know. And I think now we are at a point where in our society, those who are continuing to proclaim the homosexual lifestyle simply don't want anything left to possibility anymore. They don't want there to be anything left to reinterpretation. They are simply making it clear under no uncertain circumstances, this is a gay character. This is a gay situation. You have to understand that and you have to accept it if you're going to watch the film. So I think that's part of the reason that's happening, despite the fact that they don't seem to be, it's not like LeFou or Trini throughout the course of the film were in fact engaged in something that was openly homosexual, but yet we're announcing it as such. And I think that's so that nobody watching the film can ever just dismiss it and go, I don't know if that's really the case, you know? So I think that's, in my opinion, I believe that's what's happening. The third situation is if you are a fan of science fiction television, you've probably heard of the British science fiction program Doctor Who. In brief, Doctor Who is a story of an alien who time travels, and he has a small spaceship that looks like a 1960s police box out of England. It's huge on the inside, little on the outside, and he travels with human companions into all these different worlds, into different times. And this is a TV show that's gone on since the 60s. And one of the main characteristics of the program is, one, the character known as the Doctor is someone who just before he dies can regenerate into another person. And that, therefore, you have multiple actors throughout the decades playing this character. But another chief component of the Doctor is that he always travels with a human companion. In fact, when he does not travel with a human companion, he tends to really mess things up for himself. And so the human companion is someone that grounds him, but also gives the viewer a window into this world. You kind of buy into that, because that companion kind of becomes a focal point for you. And so that's always been a focal point of the story, is this human companion. Well, in the newest season of Doctor Who, which is coming out this spring, it has been announced that the new companion, a young black woman that goes by the name of Bill, is homosexual. She is billed as the first homosexual full-time companion of the Doctor. And the reason that that's a huge deal is that this is the first time a person's sexuality is going to be put on display as a regular character. Now, anybody who's watched the program in the recent years, from the 60s to the 80s, to the best of my knowledge, this was not a big topic to put on the program. It only became a topic when the series was relaunched in the late 2000s, and they started to bring these new storylines on. And they brought in a character by the name of Captain Jack Harkness, who was a time-traveling human, and he was described as being omnisexual. Basically, if it was man, woman, alien, it didn't matter. That was what he would involve himself with, that being, whoever he was attracted to. There was also a storyline later, several years later, where they had a lizard woman. Yes, I said that. It was a reptilian woman who had become a ally of the Doctor, because her race in the past had been kind of enemies of the Doctor. She'd become an ally of the Doctor. She lived in the Victorian era. She was a person who supposedly was the inspiration, at least according to the TV series, for Sherlock Holmes. And she's engaged in all these exploits with them. With the police and stuff, just as Sherlock Holmes would have been. Her name was Lady Vastra. Well, Lady Vastra had a wife. Yeah, I said it, a human wife. And so you had a lesbian relationship between species. You had a reptilian woman involved with a human woman. And so the idea of bringing in these alternative sexual lifestyles, if you want to put it in our common parlance, is not uncommon for the newest generation of Doctor Who episodes. The reason this is a big deal now, and I think I just smacked my microphone, so if it clicked, I'm sorry. The reason this is a big deal now is that for the first time where these other characters would show up in a recurring manner, in other words, they weren't in every episode of every season, they would show up from time to time as the stories required it, you now have a person who is the permanent companion, the person who travels with the Doctor on his adventures. And this person is homosexual. And this person, the BBC, unlike the American movies we were just talking about a second ago, this person, and the way the BBC does their films, this is not going to be a passing reference. The relationships with Captain Jack Harkness and with Lady Vastra, they weren't explicit, they weren't graphic, but they didn't shy away from it either. They fully engage that as part of the storyline. And so this character, Bill, is going to be, I suspect, very much the same way. And now, as the series progresses, this person will be a permanent fixture, at least until the next companion comes along. And so, again, right before the release of a season of a television program, we have this dramatic announcement. The character of Bill has been kind of cloaked in secrecy since she was first announced about a year ago. And everybody wanted to know who she was going to be. Well, now this information comes out right before the series begins. Why is that happening for us? Why is that happening right before these shows begin? I believe it's for the express purpose of generating controversy. They want to get individuals worked up about this. They want certain groups of people to be excited and cheering it and going, way to go, BBC, way to go, Disney, way to go, Saban Limited. Great job for acknowledging the existence and bringing them of these people and bringing them into the storylines. Fantastic. Cheerio, move on. But I think equally, I think, is the desire to see persons like Christians and conservative groups create controversy about it because we oppose it. It brings them more attention. It drives folks to talk about it. It drives folks to creating this air of controversy and mystery around the program. And I think also it helps identify those of us who oppose the introduction of these issues into television programs, into movies that we would want to go see. I mean, think about Beauty and the Beast. Think about Power Rangers. What is this geared for? Well, these are family films. Even Doctor Who is essentially a family science fiction drama of sorts. It's not, something that's on late night television. It's, would be considered a program that most families would be willing to let their children watch if they, and if they objected to certain episodes, you could just not watch that episode if Captain Jack Harkness was in it. But now you have a character who will be recurring constantly. And so I think there's a desire on a part of these organizations to pull out the Christians and say, see, there's those folks that are terrible because they don't want these people to exist. They don't want them in our television programs. Look how backward they are. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that's one of the reasons for the announcement. Why release that information right before the release of a film or a television series? If not to create that controversy and mark out the people that are going to be in opposition, make them look foolish. Let society, identify these, these stupid, foolish Christians and go after them. And if you don't think that's going to be the case, all you have to do is voice an opinion. It was, I believe, Ken Ham, who had talked about the Doctor Who episode. Like myself, he's a Doctor Who fan, and what is called a Whovian. In fact, I've seen pictures of him wearing Doctor Who garb. And now he sees that announcement and he puts it out there. I can't follow this program. I can't support this program if that's what they're going to do. And I responded. I said, I've always loved the show and I love the current actor, Peter Capaldi, who plays the Doctor. But if they're going to do this, I can't watch this season. And I think I'm still getting occasional responses just to that. And it was, it was like, several days went by where I was still getting responses simply because I had responded to Ken Ham. And I believe that's part of the reason. I believe that's part of why this is happening. So as Christians, how do we respond to this? I see a lot of people that say, well, let's boycott Disney. Let's boycott the BBC or let's boycott Power Rangers. If you've listened to the program, you know that both Rich and I typically do not say engage in public boycott. Why? Well, we don't like it when it's done to us, right? I mean, if you're a baker and and you don't want to bake a cake for a specific type of wedding because it violates your religious conscience, boy, certain groups of people sure like to show up and boycott you and publicly humiliate you to force you to violate your conscience. I don't believe it's wise to allow or to have Christians adopting the world's methodology. I don't think it's wise for us to engage in that. That's not what we're called to. We're called to proclaim the gospel. We're called to proclaim God's truth. And I believe we preach it into the culture. We proclaim God's word. We proclaim his truth into the culture. We say, thus saith the Lord. And we say that, because of the fact that the world doesn't obey thus saith the Lord, it's condemned, and then we point to Christ as salvation. I believe that's what we're called to do. If we want to see Disney change its practices, I think what would be really good is that Christians get involved in praying for the president of Disney, pray for the people who work in Disney, be sending them gospel tracts and witnessing to them if we're given opportunity. I think that's what we want to see done. We want to see culture changed by the power of Christ, not by the power of boycott. I don't believe that's what we're called to do. But here's the thing, and I've actually had this conversation more than once. In these three instances, I've cited programs that were geared towards family. So I have an obligation as a husband and as a father to bring into my home that which will edify my family, build them up in the Word of God, and point them to Jesus Christ. If I cannot bring something in that does those things, then I shouldn't allow it in, at least in my estimation. What does the Word of God say? Set no wicked thing before your eyes, right? So if I know that a program is explicitly pointing to something that is immoral, and if you're hearing this for the first time and you've somehow found me and you don't know how you ended up listening to this Christian radio program, I will say it very clearly. God's word is clear. The homosexual lifestyle is immoral because it is a sin. It is a disobedience to the word of God. It is a rejection of God's created order. It is a rejection of man and wife in a lifelong monogamous committed relationship. And marriage is a reflection of God's relationship with his church through Jesus Christ. And anything that profanes that is sinful. So, yes, it's immoral because it violates word of God. I've said it. Now let's move on. So I should not bring something into my home, or I should not take my family to something that is explicitly professing something that is immoral. So in this instance, I believe the wise thing for the Christian to do is to examine, what am I looking at for entertainment? Should I look at this and should I evaluate it against the Word of God? I think the answer is yes. And if it does not meet with God's Word, should I then partake of it? Now, granted, it's not like you can go through life with blinders on and never see anything or pretend that the immoral world doesn't exist. I understand that. And, you know, you can watch just about anything anymore or read any book and it's there. I get that. But when a company comes to you and says, this program specifically has this immoral lifestyle that you object to, and it's not left up to the imagination what it's about, I think I have to say I can't partake. As difficult as that might be, as quickly in passing as that might be, I have to say I don't think I can partake of this. I can't bring this into my home. I can't bring my family into this, because I have a duty to build a foundation for them that is the Word of God. I don't leave them ignorant, and I talk to my family about this, and I explained to, you know, we talked about Beauty and the Beast, we talked about Power Rangers, we've talked about Doctor Who in all instances, because these are all things that we would, you know, watch. And I've said, this is why. And it's frustrating to us as a family, but it helps my family and, you know, grow in the understanding that our first priority is the glorification of God and His Word. The glorification of the work that he's done through Jesus Christ. If that's my first priority, and that's the foundation on which I build my family, then I'm setting them up to honor God as much as I'm able to. So I think that's the first thing we need to do. I think the second thing we need to consider is how we address this. One of the reasons I don't believe that public boycott is a wise decision for the part of a Christian, and I know some people would disagree with me on this, and I'm not saying that they're heretics or something because they disagree with me, but why I believe it's not wise is it is a testimony to the world. Because when we say boycott Disney, well, all you got to do is spend some time on the internet, and some of this is verifiable, that Disney has snuck certain things in. Animators have done certain things that have slid into it that point to something immoral. I mean, like I said, the original Beauty and the Beast, you have LeFou ogling the gals of the town. I mean, you know, he's acting like a dog. So while it was not anything graphic and it didn't wasn't anything suggestive, it was a man, you know, responding to his passions, and the same with Gaston. So these things have been present in our entertainment for some time, and we have partaken of them. So when we say boycott Disney because LaFoe is said to be gay, but we've watched everything else Disney ever made, we look very hypocritical. In addition to that, we come across as harsh and condemnatory in a manner that is unloving. Now, I understand the world's definition of loving is far different from God's definition. I understand that. But if I come to you and I am kind of cracking over your head with a baseball bat, so to speak, of what a bad person you are, and I'm not sitting down to talk with you about why those things are bad, why you need to repent, why Christ died for your sins, all those things, being consistent in my presentation, but just kind of touting the Fox News boycott mentality, I come across as very shrill. I come across as very harsh. And I don't believe that, and we're basically being bullies. We're saying, you're going to do it my way or else. Now, I understand. They're telling us, you do it our way or else. Believe me, I entirely get that. Just ask Target on how that, when they did that, and how we, that was received by, the general public. They didn't care. And by the way, even though the boycott for Target has now actually been acknowledged by their CEO as actually been a result of their decision to, let men in women's bathrooms and dressing rooms, etc., they haven't changed their policy. They've taken it in the shorts as far as their sales. They've had to close down the idea of certain expansions. They've had to, rein in their spending because the boycott has hurt them. But interestingly, if you've read the article that came out, the CEO did not say, therefore, we will change our policy. He simply acknowledged that by pronouncing it the way they did, it hurt them. You're not going to see a change, I think, in Target's policies, because if they give ground, then everybody has an out. And I don't think they want to give anybody an out on this. This is the new normal. They want it to be this way. And they want to give a black eye to society when society says no. So, but going back to what I was saying, we do not receive bullying well, rightfully so, because we're being told do it our way or else. Well, I don't think it's right for the Christian to then be hypocritical and turn around and do the exact same thing. So when we're talking to people about these, and somebody comes to me and says, wow, isn't that wonderful that this character is this? I'm going to have to answer with this. Funny thing about that. I disagree with that. I disagree with the presentation of that. And because as a Christian, I feel that way. I can't go watch this movie. Why would you say that? Why would you, hate on people just because of who they are? You know, it's funny that you say that. Let me sit down and have a conversation with you about the Word of God and what it says and why it means something to me and why it guides my every thought. Let's go through those passages you think that are hypocritical about mixed fibers and shellfish. Let's talk about these things because there are answers. And if I can present my objection and why I will not partake of it, at least if I'm going to be hated, it's going to be hated because I believe the Word of God. Not be hated because I present myself as being a hypocrite. And let me back up just a little bit. I also need to check my attitude towards other forms of entertainment as well. I should be consistent in how I am or in what I'm partaking in, so that when someone says, well, you won't watch Beauty and the Beast, which had like 3 seconds of LaFoe being kind of acting this way, but you'll read this kind of book where this stuff is, this kind of graphic content, or you'll watch, this kind of movie where, you'll watch Deadpool, for example, the Marvel movie Deadpool, and it was graphic content and slicing and dashing and foul language galore. You'll watch R-rated movies where that's going on, but you won't watch a Disney movie or a Power Rangers movie where a person was simply referenced as being gay. I think if we don't check ourselves in that area, if we're not watching how we consume entertainment, if we're not drawing lines where our foundations are solid and not shifting sand, I think we come across as being extremely hypocritical. And you know, there's been times where there's been, you know, programs that I want to watch. And when I learn, wow, that's on there, you know, I have to turn it off and say, wow, I didn't know that was part of that and I can't watch it anymore. And I've had people tell me, wow, you're a prude or whatever. Well, I get what you're saying, but my relationship with God is more valuable to me than that. And my relationship with my family and building them up in God is equally important to me. It's just as important to me, I should say, than that. So I have to be willing to say, I'm not going to watch that because I don't want to have the appearance of evil. Now, there's a spectrum of that in some ways. I think there are certain things that are hard and fast rules you don't watch. I think anything that has a kind of a hint at intimacy or anything outside, you know, between a man and a woman or man and man or woman and woman that is not, according to the Word of God, I don't think you watch it. I don't think you watch anything that glorifies that. I think there are some hard and fast rules there. But I think there's going to be, you know, you might be able to watch, you know, Captain America or Avengers or something like that. And your conscience is not going to be as pricked because, yes, it shows fighting. And, yes, it shows bad guys and good guys, you know, duking it out. And there's a certain level of violence and behavior in there. You might be able to watch that and not have the same conscience response as somebody who goes, but all violence is bad. All this kind of stuff is bad. You don't watch that because it has the appearance of evil. I think you have to go by your informed conscience, which should be informed by the Word of God first and foremost. And I think depending on where your conscience is on some of the other areas, I think you need to respond to that. No matter what it is, you never negate, you never sin against your conscience. You never partake of something that will sear and affect your conscience. You do that, you sin. You know, if you sin against your conscience, you sin. So adhere to your conscience and be willing to make sacrifices in your entertainment so that you establish yourself soundly on the Word of God and you're giving glory to Him first. And then when you talk to someone, I don't agree with boycott. I would not encourage that. But if you say, for conscience' sake and for the glory and for the sake of glorifying God, I will not watch this. For the sake of building up my family in truth, I will not partake of this. Then when somebody says, I don't understand why you have a problem with this, now you have a testimony that you can give because it backs up what we say. If we only target movies where homosexuality is the case, but we don't target movies where rampant sexual immorality is going on, you know, rampant foul language, uber violence. If you're willing to watch those, but you have a problem with the homosexuality nugget in Beauty and the Beast, you're presenting yourself as a hypocrite. So I think we need to be taking that into consideration. I think that's what we need to do. So I hope that has given you some things that are food for thought, because it is something that I think without realizing it, we get into a kind of, forgive me how I put this, almost a lemming mindset. Somebody shares an article that Disney put this out, and then we all go jump on, and I know it's a bit broad brush, so forgive me, we jump on the boycott bandwagon, and we all share the same article. How dare they do this? How dare they ruin this story? How dare they bring this in? And we haven't really considered how we as Christians need to respond to it, how we need to present why we believe what we believe, and how we deal with the world at large. How should we build up our families to help them know why we've made these decisions, etc. I think it's real easy to get on the retweet or the share button from Facebook or whatever social media you use, and we get real quick to hit petitions and boycotts. And I think a lot of that's just a product of the generation that we live in. And so what I'm asking you as the listeners to do is to take some time and think about, consider what it is that, why we're not viewing it, if we're choosing not to view it, and what our answer is to our family and what the answer is to the world at large. because if we don't have an answer for that, we're just going to be dismissed as yet another kook. I think we have biblical answers. We have answers that drive people to Jesus Christ, a call for repentance and acknowledgement of what sin is, and it's a rebellion against God. And I think that's what we should do. I think we need to put that kind of energy and effort into it. So I hope that gives you something to think about. I hope you can forgive me for being at the voice that you had to listen to for the last hour and not having Rich come in to balance me out. I hope I didn't go on a rant or come across as too redundant. And primarily, I hope I edified you and I glorified God tonight. So thank you for spending your time with me tonight. Thank you for giving me your ear. Please pray for our good buddy Rich, God would get him out from being under the weather, and he'd be getting stronger and healthier and, being back the next time we get together. I do want to let you know this week might be a little bit tricky as far as Friday, Saturday, this weekend trying to record. My wife and I are going to our first season ball game with the Reno Aces. We love to get partial season tickets. So Friday is out. I know Saturday there is a birthday party that my children have to attend, and we as parents are expected to be there, of course. And so family, that always comes first. But Rich and I will try to find a time somewhere in there where we can record a program. April 21st through the 23rd, I will be out of the area. Out of the area. I'm going to be unavailable because there's a camping trip for the Trail Life group that my children are a part of, and we're going to be participating in that. So I get to spend time out with my children doing some camping, doing some hiking, that kind of stuff. So we won't be available for that either. So, that weekend we'll likely just be off, and we appreciate your patience as always with that. Want to thank you for your constant prayers. Want to thank you for your constant support. We ask that you just consider making Voice of Reason Radio one of those things that you pray for. Pray for us not to become arrogant, not to become high-minded. Pray for us to continue to be humble. By the way, if you want something that's going to keep you humble, get Jerry Bridges' book, Respectable Sins. I'm 2 chapters in. I was encouraged by Roger Patterson, with the guy with the Answers in Genesis, to take it slow because this will beat you up. And he's right. Jerry Bridges does a very good job of speaking the truth in love about Christians holding on to certain sinful things and not thinking they're as sinful as what the world's doing. 2 chapters in, and you want some humility, read that book. But pray for God to continue to humble us, that we would not think that we are the best answer to anything. That's always a risk when you're doing something like this. Can always get a little bit too confident that you have all the answers. So pray for that. Pray that God would continue to maintain the equipment that we use, the website that we put together, that God provides for the ability for us to pay the little expense that's there. That's always a challenge as new issues come up, things like medical treatments and stuff like that, with my surgery. And of course, as Rich does have some of his own medical issues that he contends with, so that the Lord would provide for us in those ways, and so that we could continue to do this and make Voice of Reason Radio something that we continue to put on the air for as long as he allows us to. So thank you for spending your time with us this week. We look forward to talking to you next time. And as we always say at the end of each program, whatever you do for the Lord, or whatever you do this week, do it for the Lord. Thank you. God bless. Good night.